Okay, let's dive right into it. We've got a really interesting set of source material from you, our listener, all about a book that's definitely sparked a lot of conversation. The 5 AM Club by Robin Sharma.
Yeah, it certainly has. Lots to unpack there.
Definitely. So our mission today really is to take this summary you've shared and, unpack its core ideas. We want to understand the whole thing, the story it uses, the practical steps, and also what the source says about its strengths and, well, its criticisms too.
Oh, get the full picture.
Exactly. It's about getting you a clear, thorough understanding fast.
Absolutely. And this dive, it's focused squarely on exploring this popular approach to personal mastery, productivity, using your sources as our map, basically.
Yeah.
We're looking at not just that it talks about waking up early, but why it makes that case, the whole system it lays out, and importantly, how it's been received. So, yeah, let's get started.
Okay. So the absolute heart of the book, based on this material, is owning the morning. It's all about waking up at 5 AM specifically to create what the book calls a victory hour. That's 5:00 to 6 AM. What's the big deal about that exact hour, according to this source?
Well, the sources make a pretty specific case for this timing.
Okay.
They describe the early morning as this period offering, solitude and silence.
Right, peace and quiet.
Exactly. Which helps foster a calmer brain state. It also mentions physiological benefits like lower cortisol levels, that's the stress hormone,
Wow.
and a shift in brain waves from the busy beta state to more relaxed alpha theta states.
Right, so it's almost like setting the stage biologically and environmentally for peak focus.
That's a great way to put it. The idea is this state, according to the source, really enhances creativity, clarity, productivity right at the start of your day.
Before the chaos hits.
Pretty much, you're leveraging a specific window, biologically and environmentally, to build momentum before all the daily distractions really start piling up.
Now, what's really different about this book, or seems to be, is how it presents these ideas. The source tells us it's all wrapped up in a fictional story, a parable.
That's right. It uses a narrative structure, tells a story to get the principles across.
Okay.
The main characters introduced are a struggling entrepreneur, a frustrated artist, and this eccentric
The
billionaire.
billionaire.
Yeah. And the source notes he initially appears disguised as a homeless man, calls himself Mr. Riley. They meet at a conference.
Wow, okay. A billionaire disguised as a homeless man.
Yeah.
That's definitely a memorable start.
It is, isn't it? And through meeting him, the entrepreneur and artist go on this like global journey.
Right?
Locations like the billionaire's private island, Rome's catacombs are mentioned, learning the secrets behind the 5 a.m. club and this victory hour.
So you learn through their adventure.
Exactly. The sources point out the style is meant to be engaging, but some readers might find it a bit much, maybe over the top or, as the source says, cheesy.
Right, I could see how that might divide people. So you learn the system through this quite dramatic story. Let's get to the practical side then. What's the engine of the victory hour? The source highlights this 20-20-20 formula.
Yes, this formula. It's presented as the signature framework for that first critical hour.
Okay.
It breaks the 60 minutes into three equal 20-minute blocks, each one dedicated to a different activity designed to activate, well, mind, body, and spirit, as the book describes it.
Okay, let's walk through those. First 20 minutes is move.
Correct. This block is all about vigorous physical activity. It could be cardio, yoga, anything that gets you moving.
And why? Just to wake up?
Well, yes, but the reasoning provided is more specific. Sweating helps reduce cortisol levels, linking exercise directly to stress reduction and a clearer mental state. It also specifically mentions the release of BDNF.
BDNF, that sounds science
Yeah.
white. Important for the brain. What does the summary say it does?
It's described as brain-derived neurotrophic factor. The material explains it helps repair brain cells and strengthens neural connections.
Interesting.
So the physical movement isn't just about fitness, it's strategically aimed at boosting cognitive function right away.
Exercise is brain food, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, second 20 minutes, reflect.
Yeah, this segment is for more introspective practices. Think meditation, journaling, gratitude exercises.
Okay.
The goal here is gaining clarity, setting positive intentions for the day, cultivating that resilient, optimistic mindset. It's the mental prep part.
Got it. And the final 20 minutes is grow. That sounds like learning.
Exactly. This block is purely for learning and personal mastery. So, reading educational books, listening to insightful podcasts, maybe studying a skill,
Feeding your mind.
right? Continuously improving yourself.
So move, reflect, grow, a full mind-body-soul approach packed into just 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
The source notes this 20-20-20 is seen as a keystone habit, meaning it can trigger other good stuff throughout the day.
That's the idea, like a positive domino effect.
Right.
And it also mentions you can adjust it, you know, like maybe 10 minutes move, 30 reflect, 20 grow. So there's some flexibility built in.
Okay, that's good to know.
What's really interesting here is how the book frames this 5 a.m. habit as the catalyst for something much broader. It's about cultivating a complete inner state.
And it sounds like it leads right into this concept of nurturing the four interior empires, right? This seems to be about building that balanced inner foundation.
Yes, exactly. The book suggests nurturing these four interconnected dimensions is crucial for, well, holistic growth and sustained high performance.
Okay, what are they?
So first, there's your mindset. This involves actively cultivating positive beliefs, positive self-talk, the optimism you need to drive success and overcome challenges. It links right back to that reflect part of the 20-20-20.
Makes sense.
Then your heart set. This focuses on emotional intelligence, fostering gratitude, empathy, building resilience against setbacks, your emotional core.
Okay.
Your health set, which obviously emphasizes physical fitness, but not just for energy, for cognitive function, mental toughness, connects right to the move segment.
Uh-huh.
And finally, your soul set. This is about connecting with your authentic self, clarifying your purpose, living in line with your values, which really resonates with the clarity from reflect and the growth from grow.
Ah, okay. So these empires aren't just abstract ideas. They're the internal foundation that the whole 5 a.m. routine helps build and strengthen.
Precisely. It's about becoming the kind of person who can operate at that high level.
Right. And speaking of high levels, the source outlines the four focuses of history makers traits, apparently shared by top performers.
Yeah, based on the summary, these are presented as the key areas where really impactful people direct their energy.
Okay, where are they?
First, capitalization IQ. It's not just about having talent. It's the discipline and effort to maximize that potential. Talent plus grit, basically.
Got it. Need the follow through.
Exactly. Second, freedom from distractions. Actively cutting out low-value stuff, notifications, social media noise, even draining relationships to create space for deep work on what really matters, essential for making that 5 a.m. hour count.
Absolutely.
Third, personal mastery practice, a daily non-negotiable commitment to getting better at relevant skills and habits, seeing mastery as this continuous process, you know, incremental gains. That's the growth segment in action.
Right. It's a journey.
And fourth, day stacking. This is a simple but powerful idea. Huge long-term results are built one day at a time. Small, consistent wins.
Stacking the bricks.
Exactly. Each successful victory hour is like one more brick stacked towards something bigger. It ties the whole routine together.
That day stacking idea.
Mm-hmm.
It makes big goals feel more manageable. Just win today, right?
Right. Focus on the process.
Now, building this kind of routine, especially the 5 a.m. part, that's not easy for most people. I mean, really not easy. The source provides a framework for making it stick. The habit installation protocol.
It does. The book lays out this proposed 66-day process, and it breaks it down into three distinct phases, acknowledging that, yeah, habit change is tough. It's a journey.
Okay. What are those stages?
First, there's distraction. This is where you actively work to break down old patterns, rewire your thinking. This is where you'd confront things like that addiction to distraction or learned victimhood, the book mentions later.
The tough part.
Yeah.
Definitely the initial hurdle. Then comes installation. This is the grind phase, really. Persisting through the discomfort, the challenges, to actually build the new behavior.
Pushing through.
Mm-hmm. And finally, integration. This is when the habit becomes deeply ingrained, feels automatic, almost effortless. It's just what you do.
So it's intentionally hard up front,
needs
persistence in the middle, and then eventually becomes second nature. That feels... Yeah, that feels relatable for any tough habit change.
It does. And the source mentions this analogy the book uses, comparing it to a space shuttle.
Oh.
Yeah. How a shuttle uses most of its fuel just during takeoff. It powerfully illustrates that the initial effort is the most intense, but that's what gets you into orbit, right? Makes the sustained effort less demanding afterwards.
That analogy really lands. Makes total sense. Okay, so once you're theoretically operating at this high level, how do you avoid just burning out? The source talks about the twin cycles of elite performance.
Right. This framework tackles that need for balance head on. It's about balancing intense productivity with crucial recovery. It suggests oscillating between two distinct cycles.
Okay. Tell us about those.
So there's the monk cycle. This is about periods of really high focus, zero distractions. The source mentions the concept of entering a tight bubble of total focus, or TBTF, within this cycle. Again, reinforcing that freedom from distractions idea. This is where you nail your high-value tasks.
Right. Deep work.
Exactly. And the other cycle is the Brahman cycle. This is dedicated entirely to rest, relaxation, deep rejuvenation, time off.
The recovery part.
Absolutely essential. The whole point of moving between these cycles is to sustain creativity, energy, performance long term. Avoid that constant grind trap.
So intentional, intense focus, followed by intentional deep rest. That makes sense for sustainability, feels healthier.
Definitely.
Are there any other like specific productivity tips or rules mentioned in the source beyond the core 20-20-20 in these cycles?
Yeah, the summary lists a few other practical strategies.
Like what?
There's the 99-01 rule. Dedicate the first 90 minutes of your main workday to your single most important project. Do that for 90 consecutive days. The book apparently calls this a gargantuan competitive advantage.
Wow. Okay. Intense focus again.
Mm-hmm. Then the 60-10 method. Work and focus 60-minute bursts. Take 10-minute breaks. Standard Pomodoro-like technique.
Right.
The daily five concept. Identify and commit to completing just five small, impactful goals each day. Keep things manageable.
Nice and simple.
And something called the second wind workout, 2WW. Scheduling another, maybe shorter workout later in the day to boost energy, fight the afternoon slump.
Interesting. A second boost. You sound like practical things you could layer onto the core routine.
Yeah, additional tools in the toolbox.
But the source also makes it really clear that none of this works in isolation, right?
Yeah.
A successful 5 a.m., it actually starts way before the alarm even goes off.
This is a crucial point from the book, yeah. The quality of your morning is heavily dependent on your evening routine and, critically, your sleep.
Makes sense.
It strongly recommends avoiding screens after 8 p.m. Explains that the blue light messes with melatonin production, hurting sleep quality.
We hear that a lot now.
For good reason, and the last hour before bed. Suggested for calming activities, reading, meditating, winding down properly to ensure good restful sleep.
Which you definitely need if you're getting up at 5 a.m.
Absolutely. It's the foundation. Without good sleep, the 5 a.m. thing is probably unsustainable for most people.
So it's really a 24-hour cycle. The 5 a.m. is the launch, but the evening is the critical prep phase.
You got it.
What about the internal hurdles, the mental blocks people face? The source discusses mindset challenges that can derail all this effort.
Yes, the book apparently warns explicitly against common pitfalls. It highlights the addiction to distraction. Super relevant today, right?
Totally.
That's the enemy of the tight bubble of total focuses and freedom from distractions.
Right.
It also addresses learned victimhood, that tendency to feel powerless, blame external factors when things go wrong.
Uh-huh. The blame game.
Yeah. And the book's encouragement, noted in the summary, is really about taking radical personal responsibility and actively curating your environment by surrounding yourself with positive, ambitious people who support your growth.
Choose your circle carefully. Those sound like the internal battles you'd fight during that destruction and installation phase of habit building. It all connects.
It really does weave together.
The underlying philosophy. It seems very much about pushing past discomfort for growth. And the source uses motivational quotes to get that spirit across.
Yeah, the book is noted for its inspirational tone. Often uses quotes to hammer home the lessons from the parable.
Any examples?
The source includes some powerful ones like, all change is hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end. It speaks right to that habit process, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Messy in the middle is relatable.
Or, the place where your greatest discomfort lies is also the spot where your largest opportunity lives. Really highlights that philosophy of stepping outside your comfort zone for big transformation.
Those quotes definitely capture the essence. Persistence, facing challenges head on.
Okay, so we've really unpacked the whole system presented in the source material now. What does it say about how the book itself has been received? Strengths, criticisms, based on this material.
Right, the source gives a balanced view. On the strengths side, it points to things like the actionable frameworks, the 20-20-20, those other tactics, the motivational tone that clearly resonates with a lot of people, the focus on routine building, and that attempt to link concepts to some neuroscience like BDNF and cortisol.
Okay.
And it also notes that for some people, the storytelling is a plus. They find it engaging.
And the criticisms, where do people find fault, according to the source?
Well, criticisms noted include the narrative being seen as, well, cheesy or overly dramatic by some.
We mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, and the content feeling repetitive at times.
Yeah.
A key critique seems to be the very rigid focus on exactly 5 a.m.
Right. Might not work for everyone. Exactly. Critics argue it might not suit all lifestyles or natural sleep patterns, you know, chronotypes. And some readers just find the whole fiction story distracting. They'd prefer a straightforward nonfiction approach to the advice.
It sounds like the format itself is a real point of division then.
Seems that way, based on the summary.
Okay, so pulling all this together, why is the 5 a.m. club considered worth exploring according to the summary you provided us?
Well, the source concludes that the book makes a compelling case, really, for using those early morning hours to significantly boost productivity, health, overall well-being.
Okay.
Its appeal, as described, seems to lie in that mix, the motivational story, the practical strategies, the core principles, presented in a way that makes complex ideas feel accessible.
Gotcha.
It's highlighted as being particularly good for people who like inspirational self-help and are genuinely looking for a structured system to change things. Especially if they're open to trying that early rising experiment.
Wow. Okay. We've really taken a deep dive into this source material on the 5 a.m. Club. Feels like we covered a lot.
We did.
We pulled out that core idea of the 5 a.m. victory hour, unpacked the 20-20-20 formula and the science bits linked to it, explored the four interior empires as the foundation, saw how the four focuses supposedly draft performance, understood that deliberate habit building process.
Right. The 66 days.
Recognized the need for balance with those twin cycles, looked at the other practical tactics, underscored the vital role of sleep.
Crucial.
Identified the mindset obstacles, got a feel for the underlying philosophy, and weighed the reported strengths and criticisms.
Okay.
That's a pretty comprehensive picture, painted entirely from your shared source.
It is. And hopefully for you, the listener who brought us this material, it provides exactly the kind of synthesized insights and key takeaways you were looking for. Those aha moments delivered efficiently and clearly.
Yeah, hopefully.
So given everything we've talked about today, particularly the book's emphasis on intention, structure, consistent practice, it does raise a kind of interesting question for you to think about. Does the specific time, 5 a.m., hold the ultimate magic? Or is it more about the disciplined, intentional use of that first hour of the day? You know, whenever you manage to carve it out, that's the real key to the results the book describes.
The time versus the intention.
Yeah. What stands out most to you from this deep dive? Something to ponder?
That's a great question to leave things on. Thank you again for bringing the source material to us and for joining us for this deep dive. We really hope it gave you the clarity and insight you needed.